Friday service here again. We will have Good Friday service here. You can stay spread out just like you have been. The cups, the communion cups with the bread, all that will be in the back. So when you come in, we won't have to pass bread. Everybody touch the same things. We can stay spread out and do those things. But we want to have our Good Friday service and share in the Lord's Supper. If anybody, maybe you don't live around here, you're going to join us online. If you join us that night, we'll share that live too. And so if they have a cup of bread ready, we had to do it all online last year. So we were able to share. I'm so thankful that we can be here this Good Friday and share that Good Friday service. Then, of course, a couple days after that, we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, as you go towards Easter, there's lots of ways a pastor can lead his congregation towards Easter. You can do a sermon series. I just came out of a sermon series, but sometimes we have done that. Oftentimes, the denomination will send out ideas all over the denomination. We'll say, this is this year's sermon series, and I try to help people to kind of walk their way towards Easter. Sometimes you do a sermon series about the prophecies of Easter. And those prophecies that lead you up to Easter through the crucifixion and to the resurrection, those were all things that were talked about before it ever happened. And so there's sermon series out there for those. I've done a sermon series before about the seven sayings of the cross. While Jesus on the cross, he says seven different things, and they've been recorded in God's Word. And so we've done that before. We started way before Easter, and we talked about everything that Jesus said while he was on the cross. Well, today, we're going to talk about one of the things that Jesus said on the cross, but it's really just going to be a part of the passage, because my focus today for you is on the two men hanging beside him. We're going to hear what Jesus said, but I want you to focus with me this morning on the two men that were crucified next to Christ. And the question that we're going to ask, and hopefully the question that you'll be able to answer today, is which side are you on? These two men were very, very different. The outcome was very, very different. And so today we need to figure out, if that's me, if I was in their position, which one am I today? And hopefully, if you're the wrong one, you change that. Which side are you on is the question that we will ask today. Let's look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read verses 32 through 43. It says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him, being Jesus, led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching. The rulers even sneered at him. They said, well, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God, the Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar, and he said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was a written notice above them, which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for this passage of Scripture, what it means for every single one of us. And I pray that today we would answer that question, which one are we? And Father, if we're not in the right place, if our heart isn't in the right place, I pray that that would change today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. I want to look closely at what we just read. I dropped you right smack dab in the middle of the crucifixion. And we'll talk about that a lot, obviously, on Good Friday. We may even talk about that some next Sunday leading up to Easter. But we're right there. It talks about the fact that Jesus has been crucified. He was led out to this crucifixion with two criminals. When they got there, all three of them were crucified on this hill. And if you you know anything about scripture and history, if you were carrying a cross, you were walking to your death. I'm not sure that they notified everybody like it was going to be a parade, but I'm very sure that there was probably a certain day of the week, or there was a call that was made, and they knew that criminals were going to be crucified on this hill. And if you didn't know ahead of time, all they had to do was watch where the crowd was going, and there was a man or woman or whoever carrying this cross, dragging it. Because most of the time they've been beaten. Jesus was beaten so badly, he couldn't even carry his cross the whole way. They beat Jesus so badly that he couldn't hold up under the weight of his cross. He continued to fall and pulled inside and had him carry it the rest of the way for him. But if you saw someone carrying a cross, you thought, oh, they're going to die. And they went, they made audience and they watched it. Oftentimes made fun of them, and that's what they were doing with these people. And so what we see is three men who were walking to their death. Well, these two other men that were with Jesus, the NIV that I read you says criminals, the King James says thieves, tradition says that they were thieves, some versions of the Bible call them rebels. I guess when you're a criminal, you're a rebel. Well, you rebel against the law, but honestly, this morning, their crime doesn't matter. It does not matter why they are there. There are two things that matter this morning that I want you to notice with me. This is what you need to know about these two men. One, they knew they were going to die. They knew they were going to die. Two, they both knew they were guilty. Now, you read that in verse 41. I read that to you. He looked at him. Well, one criminal looked at the other one and said, I can't believe you're acting like that. We're criminals. We're guilty. You know that we did this. We're getting exactly what we deserve. He's telling them when they're up there, they know they're going to die, and they know that they're getting what they deserve. So we've established the fact that we're going to answer the question, which side are you on? Why don't you picture yourselves in place of those thieves? And I'm going to add one more to the list. Imagine if you know you are going to die, you know that you're guilty, and right beside you, there's Jesus. You know what? That's actually pretty relatable. That's pretty relatable today. All three of those things are true of each and every one of us this morning. You see, we might not be on a cross where the criminals are. But every single one of those things that I just said to you are true of you today. We know we're going to die. We know that we're guilty. And Jesus is right there with us. I mean, we all know we're going to die one day, right? We know that. It's not just the fact that we grow up learning. And sometimes you don't learn it to a certain age. But you find that out someday. And sometimes it's shocking to people. I've heard of kids that when they found that out, they just couldn't believe it. It terrified them. I think as a pastor's kid, I kind of felt like I always knew it. I grew up in church. We talked about those kinds of things in church. You end up going to a lot of funerals when you're a kid. And it was never a shock to me to find out that one day I would die. Now, sometimes for kids, that just, I never thought of that. I never heard that. No one's ever told me that. But I think we know that, right? And it's also biblical. It's also biblical. Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 27, it says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face the judgment. So even the Bible says everybody's destined to die at one point, and then we face judgment. In Ecclesiastes, in chapter 9, in verse 2, it says, all share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so it is with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so it is with those who are afraid to take them. What we see really, in one version that I've read, it says that first verse is sort of, we all share a common destiny. It is translated, everyone will die someday. When it says we all share a common destiny, that's what it's talking about. It's saying, hey, we're all headed in the same direction. It doesn't matter if you're good, if you're bad, if it rains on the just and the unjust. It doesn't matter if you live your life.
weeks ahead. These are things we know. So this morning, you may not be dragging your cross down the road with Jesus, but every single one of us knows that at some point, we're going to die. So what I point out, we don't know when that will be. Sometimes we behave as if we know there's a date for that. Some when I talk to people about being a Christian or accepting Christ, and they'll say things like, you know, one of these days I always figured I would. Or that basically what they're saying to you is, I'm young, I still want to run around and do the things that I want to do, but I know the way. I know the way, I know the right way, so one of these days I'm going to jump back over to that right track. If I can, I'll do it right on time. If they could, they'd be Indiana Jones, they'd wait till the wall would slide down and slide under it, right? I mean, there's people that they, I'm like, I know it's coming, but I'll be all right. Some people say, well, I'm waiting for my deathbed. I told more than one person, you might have a death tree. You don't know. You might, your car might be a death ditch. Or might, you don't know where you're going to be. You're not guaranteed to have a doctor come into you and say, you've got 2 days. Right? And if they did, some people say, okay, I got 1 day to do it. Right? Amen. So I want you to know the truth is we all know that we're going to die. And the other side of that is we really don't know when. So I want you to grasp that truth this morning. I want you to understand that. Like those two men who were marching down the hill, they knew inside they were going to die. We have that part covered. Now, we also know that we're guilty. If you don't, you're going to. But we all know that we are guilty and deserving of punishment. And what is that death? Now, all we have to do is look at God's Word. If you've never heard this, you're going to hear it today. But Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody's guilty. Everybody. Everybody's fallen short of God's perfect will for them. Since Adam and Eve, when they fell in the garden, and they brought sin into the world and left that mark on our lives, we are descendants of them. There's that mark of sin on every single one of us, and every single one of us have fallen short. All have sinned. Now, just 3 chapters later in Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. And you put those two verses together. Everybody has sinned. And what is the wage of that sin? Death. So it's easy for me to say, I'm going to die, and I'm the one that deserves it. I'm going to die someday. That is the price for sin. Now, we can sit here today and we know that Jesus didn't deserve to die. Right? We're the two men walking beside him who know that we're guilty. We're the ones carrying that cross looking at each other going, I knew this would happen. Right? We did exactly what we knew we were supposed to do, and we're getting exactly what we deserve. You've had those moments. I've had those moments where I'm sitting in the office, or you're waiting outside the office in the chair, waiting for them to call you in, and you're going, I kind of knew this was going to happen. They did tell me to be quiet. I knew I shouldn't have said that out loud. Right? There's things where there's nothing you can say. You know you're guilty. You know you did it. For many of us, we're honest about those things. Where you fall short, where you do something you're not supposed to, if someone calls you on it, you're just honest and say, yeah, I messed up. I did say that. I did do that. It was me. It doesn't matter if you hide it. It doesn't matter how many times you lie about it. You know. There are things that you might be guilty of today that nobody else knows about, but you know that you are deserving of punishment. You know what the Bible says that punishment is. That there's Jesus walking there, completely innocent. Now, there is this man on the cross who says to the other, we know that we are guilty. This man is innocent. We can say that same thing today. We can say, we know that Jesus died for my sins. Right? We know. We know that. Now, if we take a hard look at ourselves, that's an Everybody's more than happy to talk about other people's sins. And one of the reasons we do that is because it's easier than talking about our own. We like to find out what somebody else did wrong. We like to be able to say, well, I saw what they did, I know what they did, but how many of us are really willing to ever take a hard look at ourselves and say, I'm guilty, I'm wrong, I've done things that I know I shouldn't have done. Churches today are going to be full of people who are hoping that somebody else will realize their faults. Do you realize that, man? There are people who go to church every Sunday hoping to see somebody else get saved. Now, if you already know Christ, I hope that you think when you go to church that somebody's life will be changed. But I hope you're also saying, God, change me. Because even if you've accepted Christ, you're not there yet. You're not complete in Christ's life. You still have things that you need to do. Now, there are people today, whether they're watching online or in church, they're thinking, well, I hope so-and-so hears this. They're a terrible person. They're never taking the time to think about themselves and say, you know what? I'm guilty. Jesus died because of me and my sin. And so we have those two things in common. I'm not saying everybody sins the same way. But the Bible says that sin is sin. And we're all guilty. Jesus walked sinlessly to his place of death. We are those who walk guilty to our punishment. And just like these men who are going to die, we know we have sinned. But there's Jesus. There's Jesus right beside us. And that's biblical. I hope you all know that that's biblical. That Jesus is always right there with you. I can give you just a few examples from God's Word, but there are so many. I could spend so long today just reading to you out of the Bible, telling you that God is always right there with you. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Matthew 28:20, when Jesus said, surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Then, if you want to say, what did Jesus have said in these times? John 14:16, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you, to be with you forever. So I've covered God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. God's with you all the time. All the time. There is not a moment in your life where God hasn't been right there. I know that's an amazing thought, and sometimes it's too much to bear. In fact, if you remember, oftentimes as children, we were reminded of that. Right? That's what mom and dad would say, would you be watching out if Jesus was sitting here? That's what they want you to do. What they want you to do is to answer and say, oh, yes, he is sitting right here. Right? And I know we use it that way, and as kids, we can laugh it off. But the truth is, we do need to realize that Jesus is right there. It's an important reason for us to realize that God is always right there with us. One, that means when you do something you shouldn't be doing, even if no one else sees, God does. Right? But it also means that when you do everything right, even if no one sees, God does. And that should be enough. So whether you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, God sees you. And we need that. God holds us accountable. So if there's anything that you do that God doesn't know about, there's nothing you go through that God isn't right there. So in this moment when you realize, I'm going to die, I know that I'm guilty because of my sin, that's the cost of that sin, is death. But here's Jesus, what do I do with him? So we've got those covered. Everyone in this room knows full well we're headed to death. We're closer every day. Closer every day. We know that we've sinned. The punishment for sin is death. And we know that Jesus is right here next to us. So the question I ask you again today is, which side are you on? Which one are you? Here we are. We're in the same boat. Just like these two men. Now, which one am I? Which one do I behave like? And you might be surprised how much like one of them you'd be.
if you grew up with a kid and watched Dukes of Hazzard, you didn't want to be Bo and Luke. You think the kid had a problem, right? Why do you want to be that guy for? They always want to be Darth Vader or something. Why is he always want? Nobody usually wants to be the bad guy. You want to be the winner. You want to be the person that does good. And so when you read this story, we say, which way? Well, I'm the one that would definitely talk kindly to Jesus. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Is that how you act when you're having problems? Is that what would happen if you were on a cross being crucified? You'd kindly talk to Jesus? Well, I can tell you this. We have one man. He knows he's guilty. He knows he's guilty, but he sees Jesus there, and it says that he rebukes Jesus and insults Jesus. Now, let's think for a moment why he's doing that. One, he probably, in his own guilt, feels a little embarrassed, I'm sure, when you're strung up on a cross in front of everybody. You're angry at everybody around you. Instead of internalizing the fact that you did something wrong and you're getting what you want, you're mad at everybody else for putting you there. So he's angry. And then he looks at Jesus. Now, this is the guy that everybody tells me performs miracles. This is the guy that supposedly can fix anything. And what does he say to Jesus? Basically, if you're so great, why don't you get us down from here? He didn't say, why don't you get down? Why don't you get us down? There's no remorse. There's no acceptance of his guilt. There's no repentance. He just tells Jesus to save him. Jesus, fix this. If you're such a great God, fix this. Now, how many people in our lives haven't thought that? Haven't thought, well, if Jesus is so good, if Jesus is so loving, why doesn't he just fix this? That's exactly what he was saying on the cross. He was looking at Jesus and saying, hey, come on, I've heard about you. Just fix my problem. Can we just get this over with? I can't believe I'm standing right here with Jesus. I'm standing, dying right here with Jesus, and you won't fix this for me. I think we've all had that problem before. Never thought about ourselves. We never think about why we're in the position we're in. We just want Jesus to fix it. How many times we lived our lives, however we wanted to live, ended up in a position we didn't want to be in, and the first thing we did was say, oh, Jesus, please just get me out of this and fix it. Never thought about maybe I'm right where I'm supposed to be because of the things that I have done. Maybe instead of being saved from this, I need to be saved from my sins. I've told you a story before where the crippled man was brought by his friends to a house where Jesus was. They ripped the roof open and they dropped the crippled guy down on the mat because they think Jesus is going to heal him. This is all we've got. Jesus just fixes his legs. They drop him down and Jesus looks at him and he says, your sins are forgiven. Everybody goes, what? Not really? Jesus, I don't want to interrupt you, but I think his legs don't work. Right? He wasn't. What was he worried about all the other stuff? He liked to walk. Right? I mean, let's be honest. When he got down there, he thought, Jesus fixed my legs. And Jesus says, I'm going to fix the real problem. Your sins are forgiven. Now, to prove that he can forgive sins, because nobody thought he could, they thought, I'm sure, fix the invisible problem. And so Jesus looked around and thought, oh, you think I can't do that? Get up, take your mat, and go. And so he does. So on this cross, this guy's never addressing the real issue. He just wants now. He just wants to go. Do you think if Jesus said, all right, pop off, he's just going to go get the one? No! I guarantee you, if he picks that guy on the cross, the first thing he does is punch the guys who put him there. All he wants to do is continue the life that he was already living. And how he wants to do the same thing. Jesus, get me out of this so I can do of sin, when you are criminal, this is inevitable. This is what happens. But this guy here is innocent. This is Jesus. There's got to be, he's basically saying there's got to be more to this. Did you hear what he said when the first time? I would have listened to every single word Jesus said. So on the way there, they're watching him. They're listening. When they get there, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And this guy's listening to Jesus. He's not spouting off. He's not mouthing. He's just listening. And he's watching Jesus. And he's watching all these people say these things. And Jesus says nothing in return. And this guy says, this man's amazing. And he turns to him and he just says, Jesus, will you remember me? Will you remember me when you get to your kingdom? He realizes who he is. He realizes who Jesus is. He wasn't worried about getting off that cross. He was taking his punishment. He just wanted to know that when it comes to heaven, Jesus, I just want to be with you. And let me tell you, there are problems in our lives that we're going to have to face no matter what. But I want to be with Jesus when it's all said and done. And this is what this man asked for. He truly recognized that Jesus was there next to him. And he called upon him. So which side are you on? People are all in the same boat. We all know we're going to die. We all know that we've sinned. Is what do you do with Jesus? That sermon's been taught over and over and over. Pontius Pilate, those guys come out and he says, what do we do with Jesus? And many of the pastors come out and says, that's the question for you today. What do you do with him? How do you respond to Jesus? He's right there with you today. What do you do? What do you choose? When we look at the cross of Jesus, it's very clear. And you have a choice to make. That choice has been set before God's people from the very beginning. You have a choice to serve God or to serve yourself, to live or to die. All the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, this choice is set out and made plain. In verses 15 through 20, it says this: See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. The wages of sin. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day, I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you. Which means, I've given you these choices. I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. The Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land you swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the same choice that you have today. I can do that every Sunday. I can come before you and say, I'm setting before you life and death. I'm setting before you Christ and the devil, heaven and hell, right and wrong. And I love the fact that as he shares these words, he brings in their children. He says it. He says, choose properly so that it goes to your kids as well. People, do you see the world that we're living in? It didn't start yesterday. It didn't start 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's generations back where it started. Now, it's only gotten worse, but at some point, people really just started choosing death, choosing wrong, choosing sin, choosing selfishness and greed, and it's passed on over and over and over again. And so this morning, you're not only, I want you to understand, you are not only making a choice for yourself, you are You can't save them. Right? The choice that you make today doesn't keep somebody else out of hell. But it can certainly impact them. It can certainly impact them. A mom and dad who walk you towards Jesus won't save the child, but it gets them a whole lot closer. Right? You see that? If I'm leading my children to the cross, at least they know where the cross is. At least they know who Jesus is. At least they know how, when they get to this choice, how to make it. When it comes to the point and they say, hey, I'm going to die someday. When the preacher first preaches that sermon, they realize, hey, I have sin in my heart. Then they know this choice before me is pretty easy. I want to live. I want to be good. I want to win. And so this morning I ask you, which side are you on? Which side are you on? People are in a battle. And if you look at the world, people say we don't, people were picking sides. We're absolutely picking sides. There is absolute right and wrong about the things that are happening in this world. There is a godly way to live, and there is an evil way to live. And it's so prevalent that it becomes more prevalent every single day. You have a choice to make. You have a choice. Will I continue to know that there is a God but not follow him? And just tell him to help me and save me and to give you what I want with nothing in return? Or do I look to him and say, remember me, Jesus. I'm just a poor old sinner who knows he's going to die. But I want to follow you. That should be the cry of our heart today. To accept who we are and to realize that Jesus can change everything. Would you stand with me this morning? Here we just look forward before we come. Heads bowed and nobody looking around. This morning you may not be sure where you stand. I want to give you a little clue this morning. If you think you're somewhere in the middle, the devil owns the fence to. There's no middle ground when it comes to following Jesus Christ. This morning what we know is there's a definite choice between living my way and living God's way. There's a definite choice between life and death. And I'm sorry to say that there have been times that I've chosen the wrong thing, where I was that person that looked at Jesus and just demanded that he do things for me because he's God and because he can. People have no right to do that. Jesus innocently died for each and every one of our sins. And what I want you to know today is he wants to set you free. You can live eternally because of what he's done for you. And there might be somebody this morning that wants to come to this place of prayer. If you want to come forward as that in this place of prayer, I'd love to pray with you. Like I said, I can't pray for you. I can't pray a prayer that gets you to heaven. That's up to you. But I can pray with you. There might be people here today that say, you know, I feel like I waver. I feel like I try to play both sides. Maybe this morning said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. And maybe you just slipped your hand and back down and said, Pastor, pray for me. I want to choose right. I want to stay right. Maybe there's somebody that said, Pastor, just pray for me. You slipped your hand and back down. God bless you this morning. I know today that the choices, they aren't easy. We live in a world that pushes hard towards doing what you want, what makes you feel good, what makes you happy. I encourage you today to find out what God wants you to do. Find out who God wants you to be and run hard after him. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for each one that's come out. And Father, I pray that it would be clear today which side we're on. And if we're on that wrong side, if we have become a people who are selfish, who are demanding of you, with no thought of how we live our lives, with no thought of true repentance, with no thought of what we're going to do when Jesus sets me free, Father, I pray that we would repent of our sins and accept Christ as our personal Savior today. That we would make him not only our Savior, but the Lord of our life, that we would follow after him. Father, I pray that we take the right side, that everything that we do is done for your glory.